My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. My name is Mike Thornton, and this is the New Storm News Service, co-hosted by Paul Emery. And Paul, you are back.
Yeah, I've been to a foreign country.
I understand that, yeah.
And it's the country of Orange, and I don't mean Northern Ireland, I mean Southern California.
Oh my gosh.
And yes, I am back. It's quite an experience down there. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever been there before, but I had the experience of, first of all, playing music at the Orange County Fair, which was really fun. It's a very nice county fair.
Uh-huh.
And then I secondly had the experience of living in a motel down there for 2 weeks and in the town of Costa Mesa, which is a different kind of story. But all I have to say, that I'll just summarize it very briefly without going into details, which I can do, but I won't. Unless you want to burn off some time. I'm very glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you
detail.
Back. This is, of course, the New Storm News Service. My name is Mike Thornton. That's Paul Emery. You are tuned to community-supported radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento, 89.5, 99.3, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. And, of course, worldwide on the Internet, www.kvmr.org. Just slam those phones around, Paul. He's back. Look out. And, of course, it is www.kvmr.org. The world is truly our community. Now, we'd like to thank those of you who are listener supporters for underwriting all hours of programming on this independent alternative media endeavor that is community radio. Without you, this station does not exist. We're joined, of course, by Paul Emery. Eric Siljak is here. Chamberlain will be here shortly, as I understand it. He is participating in what he told me was a sacred softball game, and I assume that being we were in Nevada County, that meant something like mandalas or something out in center field, and he told me no, that wasn't the case. It was just simply people who are very, very serious about softball.
Well, Chamba is so serious about softball that he would skip up an interview with Noam Chomsky live if he had a softball game.
And you
play.
Know this to be a fact.
Well, I know he's very serious about this
okay.
game. So, I respect him for that.
Well, certainly we do, but we'll be waiting for him to come and be with us because in the first hour of the New Storm News Service this evening, we're going to be doing a media roundtable, and that is our idea this evening. In the second hour, we are scheduled to be joined by Jim Meshwert, and we're going to then be switching gears and talking about social promotion in particular. And we'll also be talking about a letter that really spurred my interest in what's going on in schools here locally, and we'll talk more about that in the 9 o'clock hour. First off, Eric, thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to have this last minutes around KVMR as much as I can.
For those of you who may not know, Eric is going to be leaving us and returning to Yugoslavia. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that this evening, but certainly it's been a very much of a privilege and a pleasure to have you around here for the last 4 years and doing the reporting and giving that perspective that you have.
Well,
given.
As English says, the pleasure was entirely mine.
Well, that's cool. There we go. We're rolling now. Gentlemen, what I'd like to do, if we can, is talk about media. And I don't know that we can have a media roundtable discussion without bringing up, I think, first and foremost, perhaps the topic of KPFA. Certainly what went on down there in Berkeley and with the Pacifica Foundation made national news and was covered quite heavily in the so-called corporate and mainstream press. I'm not quite sure why, but they certainly did do it. I have a couple of questions that I'd like us to bat around if we can, and one of them is this. Does an organization like Pacifica have a point when it tells a station, a local station like KVMR, which is, KPFA. Oh, no, there hasn't been a coup. Don't worry. For all the conspiracy theorists, there's no coup. Pacific is not here.
It just depends on who you are.
Right,
like,
yeah.
If you say that.
That's right, I guess. Yeah, that's true. I guess what I really am trying to say here is, does an organization like Pacifica have a point when it says to a station like KPFA, from our perspective of being the overseers and the people responsible for this license, which they are, for good, bad, or indifferent, do they have a right to make a demand saying, you need to do something differently because you're only serving 3% of the market that you're in? Do they have the right to say that from their perspective, programming is stale and it's stagnant and it needs to change and it's really just becoming an audience of aging hippies and left-wingers and stuff like that? I mean, I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because I think it's a topic and part of the story that I don't think really got covered much here. Well,
that's a real easy one for me to answer, Mike. Do they have the right? Yes. Of course they have the right, because they assume the responsibility for being the board of directors. If they don't have the right to do that, then who does? I say that without saying what they did was right in
right.
this situation. But do they have the right to do it? Yes, of course they do. A frequency, a radio frequency in a major area is an extremely valuable item. And I don't mean just valuable in terms of the millions of dollars that it's worth, but it's an extremely valuable opportunity to communicate to large numbers of people. And I think the board of directors has all the right to say, in relationship to the mission, is what we're doing, making the most of the opportunity that we have. And they have a right to make a judgment on that. So I say, yes, they do have that right. Because if they don't, who does?
Well, that's a really good point. If they don't, who does? Eric, when you look at this, and certainly with all the perspective that you bring from, you know, your life history and everything you've been doing in community radio, when you look at what happened around Pacifica and KPFA, looking at it in terms of trying to analyze the media part of it, what do you think?
Well, first let me say that this part of Paul's argument, that not Paul's argument, but you know, the general argument that we, you know, take care of the numbers, you know, increasing growth and so on, that's been a buzzword, you know, in every area of our life. I really have an issue with that. I don't believe in numbers. I don't believe that more is better. I don't believe that 12% is more than 3%. So I would take maybe just for the sake of conversation here the opposite position here. I do not think that serving the biggest possible number of people in any area is honorable mission or whatever. It's profitable maybe, but if that means lowering standards of your information or your art, if you're an artist, if in order to reach those millions in Orange County or all the other counties across the country, you have to make compromises which are, you know, substantial, then I don't think it's worth it. History has been changed by a group of small, dedicated people. I believe in minorities who are committed, who are informed citizens, and if majority cannot be brought in that way, if majority cannot be made by some miracle overnight into informed and educated and even interested citizens, I don't think that matters. To me, it doesn't matter. I would never consider increasing the number of my listeners in my program my first or even 21st priority.
You're tuned to community-supported radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento. My name's Mike Thornton. This is the New Storm News Service, co-hosted by Paul Emery. Eric Siljak is with us this evening, and we're discussing media. Chamberlain will be with us shortly, coming from his sacred softball game, 15 minutes past the top of the hour. The number's in the studio, 530-265-9555, 1-800-355-KVMR, and we're discussing in our first portion of this media roundtable Pacifica and KPFA. Let me throw this in. Sometimes it seems like somewhat of a polarized opposite, that the sides are polarized and there's nothing in the middle, you know? I mean, on the one hand, is a radio station that has the type of signal and the type of coverage that KPFA has, if it's only serving 3% of the population, is it serving the community? It's real easy to say, if they sell out and start selling Fords and Chevys, I don't know that anybody is necessarily proposing that they do that. We have a truly powerful asset there that apparently is only reaching a very, very small portion of the people. I mean, is that serving the community?
Well, good question, Mike. You know, and Eric, I don't mean to create an argument here, but the question was, do they have the right to do what they did under the structure of a foundation? And that's the basis of what I said. Yes, they have the right, because if they don't, who does? The second, you know, part of the question is, did they exercise the right in their right in a prudent, useful manner that contributes? No.
It was a debacle.
I would say they did not exercise their right, the right that they do have, in a proper way. But, you know, there is this problem. And, as you know, speaking from experience of being program director of a radio station, mm-hmm. specifically this radio station, the difficulty of a volunteer-based program staff, programming staff, radio people, which KPFA is to a considerable degree, with some, you know, it's a little bit of both. It really becomes a real problem about entrenched programming, or programming that is, after a while, you start thinking, maybe we ought to try something else at this particular time. Maybe we ought to move things around a little bit. Maybe we just ought to do something different because we've been doing the same things for so long. In many ways, radio stations like KPFA and like community radio stations such as KVMR are extremely conservative. And let me explain what I mean by that word, extremely conservative, in that they resist change with a vengeance. And that is really what the definition of conservative is. And I can't give you the exact – it's conservatives resist change. So as an institution of broadcasters, KPFA – and they've been through this in the past when they have tried to make changes. The broadcasters resist change. And I don't know if we know the real story. You know what I mean? I don't know if we do know the real story, because it's probably not possible to get all the people together to talk about what really happened. I will say that we're dealing with some pretty hardcore conservatives here. And no matter what happens that changes it, there's going to be a reaction.
Well, I was just, making general remark as far as growth or increased number, popularity. Is it by definition good? And I will expand that notion to change. Is change by definition good? We should change and glorify change. I mean, in this country, we do have that idea. Growth, bigger, better, faster, change. Mm-hmm. Attention span is shorter. Click this channel if you don't like that. For some reason, that whole worldview about better, more efficient, you know, accommodating to times, you know, I don't know. I'm conservative, and I don't feel embarrassed to say that. I don't believe that change is, by definition, something that is, you know, worthwhile pursuing at any cost or efficiency. And while I was saying this about KPFA was when you made this remark, Mike, about, you know, that critics call it some local hippie leftist station that maybe doesn't reflect bigger community. Well, I was following, the latest example is this coverage of the war in Yugoslavia this last 6 months. KPFA was standing out as one of the very, very few media in this country that did job that was not regrettable and you know, negative. So in that way, I support KPFA what they did.
Right. Well, let me ask you, because was it KPFA that was doing that coverage, or was it Pacifica that was doing that coverage? Because before we went on the air, we were talking about Jeremy Scahill, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And can I safely assume that your praise for the coverage that you heard on KPFA was in part due to what you were hearing as a result of his reporting from Yugoslavia?
Sure. I was referring to the station KPFA, which was really the standing example of good news. Okay. And, you know, Jeremy Scahill, yes.
Well, but my point being is Jeremy Scahill is not necessarily KPFA. Jeremy Scahill is working with Democracy
okay.
Now! And with Pacifica.
Sure.
So it was actually the Pacifica National Foundation that was bringing that coverage,
okay.
Not necessarily the local programmers at KPFA.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that really needs to be looked at. You know, it seems to me the basic situation was where I say I don't think that the National Foundation acted prudently. I think they're, even though they have the right to do that, okay, they didn't act prudently, because what you really have here is a definition of what KPFA is a radio station. And the definition is it a local regional radio station that uses X amount of local broadcasters and this X amount of focus on regional issues with support from the Pacifica network in terms of programs like Democracy Now, etc.? Or is it Pacifica National with a certain amount of time allotted for local programming? Right. And that, I think, was really – and I think Pacifica Foundation was saying that's what we are. We're a national radio network, and we're going to give you a little bit of time for your local things. You know, much the way the Sacramento station K, whatever they are, is down there. The very, very little of that programming is given to the local community.
Right.
Well, I actually think that, you know, probably both of you are, you know, more versed into this history of KPFA, because I understand since 48 it was, or whatever, it's the oldest public station in the nation. My whole feeling about this is that that was created by a bunch of enthusiasts, bunch of people who were wanting to cover this community. The fact that 50 years after it has grown into this multi-million dollar enterprise that now everybody want to buy off, I'm not necessarily happy about that, because one day KVMR might be big and valuable and our license might be attractive to somebody who will come then and tell us, well, Mike, what you do here is really not up to a national standard and you've been listened only to 3% of people, so let's get rid of you and we'll do Jim Lehrer, who has been listened by millions.
Right.
That's the decision I would not support, because I do not believe that increasing numbers justifies anything.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that's why this story, you know, took on such a fever. I mean, here, because I think a lot of people, you know, saw what was happening there and saying, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, that could happen in a more of a microcosm at some point here." And one of the questions I really had, and that was. You know, I don't know that we can answer it here tonight, is that I wonder, even though KPFA was such a big story, KVMR addressed it quite a bit. I mean, and it was a big story. It was being covered in many, many media outlets. But I wonder how much of it was us covering it out of our own personal interests, you know, or within the station, as compared to sometimes serving the needs of our community.
Well, you know, I think one of the reasons that we covered it so thoroughly, and I'm glad that we did,
I am too,
is because we have many listeners that listen to KPFA, that listen to KVMR. And I'm one of them, and you're one of them, and you're one of them. You know, nobody just listens to one radio station.
Right.
And I would say that I listen to KPFA quite a lot. And so it's off the air, and where are you going to find out what's going on? Well, I think we did a great job on that, and I think it's for our community of listeners, it was an important issue.
Right. And to give my final thought on that, because, you know, I really tend to not go into the specifics very much, but this bigger issue is what, you know, Noam Chomsky had taught me. He said, you know, whenever you're confused about some issue, it doesn't seem to be clear. You don't feel you understand it. There is something you never forget when you're in this country. Follow the money. Always use that as a principle. What is money making to do with that? Even at the surface, it looks like, oh, it's about quality of programming or it's this or that. Who is interested, whose financial interest is being served? What? And I've been trying to apply this to different situations, and let me tell you, that works. When you think that way, who is interested to make a buck out of that, then it's different, you know.
Well, and I would agree with you, I think, mostly, okay, but I also would think, and perhaps you might agree or might not agree, that when you start talking about the world of community radio, okay, it's not just follow the money. Sometimes it's follow the egos too, because some people who are involved in this are, I mean, they're heavily invested in being on the air. And boy, I'll tell you, you even start talking about, well, you know, you might get some of their airtime cut or something like that. And pretty soon we're talking about a big explosion and you're, you know, attacking my right of free speech and all of that. So I think, you know, that while what you're saying is true about following the money, I think sometimes there may be more than just a matter of the bottom line dollar-wise being the issue, because you have a lot of people who also have ego and psychological investment when you're talking about community radio, volunteer-based community radio.
You know, but ultimately the money is a peculiar factor in this situation, because you really have something that was at one time worth nothing, which was an FM frequency.
Right.
I mean, zero. You know, to give it away. To now, what is the KPFA affiliate in New York?
WBAI
is probably worth $150 million.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
That's money worth following.
Right, now, if I was on a board of directors and I sat on an asset worth $150 million, and what I was really trying to do was trying to say, how can I help people by creating communication outlets and vehicles? I think it would be legitimate for me to think, if I had that $150 million, what else could we be doing with that other than this? Now, that is a legitimate function from a board of directors that has a righteous intent to think about. Okay,
No, this is all, what you're referring about is to broadcasters, board, insiders. What I was referring to is when you have this bunch of sharks swimming around these community stations that all of a sudden have this big market value, and then coming in and wanting to make it more productive, more modern, growing, come with these proposals for development. Like all developers, like real estate, this is never based on genuine, what do we do with this area? This is, I'm really trying to say, when outsiders come to community thing, whether it's KVMR or KPFA, and say, okay, we can make you guys boom, and I'd say, well, let's be careful about that, at least.
Probably a good idea.
All this would meaningless if the powers that be allowed more frequencies to be available, to where people could just, the broadcasters could just jump ship at KVMR and go do it somewhere else on another frequency. That's really the answer.
And certainly, and we'll be really talking about that, yes, too. You are attuned to Community Supported Radio, KVMR FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento, 89.5, 99.3, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. My name is Mike Thornton. This is the New Storm News Service, co-hosted by Paul Emery. We're joined by Eric Siljak. I guess the game must have went into extra innings.
Yes.
And Chamba, of course, everybody is out there trying to be like Mark McGwire tonight, hitting that 500th towering home run. Gentlemen, let me ask you, JFK Jr., is it even worth talking about tonight?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's worth talking about this was a major news story in that lots of people are interested in it, okay? I would hate to have a situation by which the media decided not to pursue the interests of the listeners, all right? Now, then you really have another situation, another form of censorship. Yes, it's a major story. It's a major person in our culture, and our culture is a large media-based culture. Is it overdone? Certainly it's overdone. Certainly it's a major story. Certainly it's way overdone. Certainly it's a tragic
story. Probably that's some karma tonight. I have opposite view on this one, too. I did not follow it myself. I don't think it's worth following or even discussing it. Nothing to do with anything.
Well, certainly it seemed to me that the major corporate media decided that we were all really interested and needed to know every detail of, and very frankly, I mean, on one level, I think it was important in the fact that, yes, indeed, he was the son of an assassinated president, but I think certainly as they, continued to just go on and on and on and on and on, it simply was a media creation that became a media creation.
Well, that's where it really got out of control. But they'll milk something like that. They'll milk people's interests as long as they possibly can. But on the other hand, the interest in the public was there. It's not something you're going to put on the third or fourth page of the newspaper.
Was the interest of the public there, or was the interest implanted in the public because the media wanted the public to be interested, because this was a very, very, superficial, celebrity-driven story? I mean, because this is a classic argument, of course, that media professionals, you know, will say, well, we're just giving the public what they want. Are they really giving the public what they want, or are they, in essence, shoving what they think the public should have down their throats and then saying, well, look, because of all this coverage, you're getting what you want?
Well, certainly any story that involves famous, beautiful, glamorous people is going to be something that fits the media mold of what they like to promote really well. Princess Di would be last year's story on this, or the year before, whatever it was. But that's, you know, that's a huge question. I mean, who creates a public interest? And I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer to that would be, Mike, because what are the, if you have a free press in a capitalistic society, they're going to do that. Okay, they're going to do that. It's going to happen. And what is the alternative? The alternative is you're going to have a committee of people that are going to sit back and decide something else that they think the people should want to hear.
Marxism,
yeah.
Now.
I think that's fine. I think the commercial media should just go out and do whatever they want to do. And the main thing to me is people that are just interested in it to a certain point and then go on to something else. That's the answer. It's not whether they're going to do it or not.
I will try to answer by giving a parallel. You know, people would say, well, of course we are interested in a plight of Albanians or before that Bosnians, you know, because it's such a terrible tragedy, it's genocide, everything. And then when I would mention Kurds or East Timorese, they would say, well, we don't care. Well, that's a hard argument to say that we would care about life in Albania but not about life in Turkey or in some other country. And I think that's an example of those stories that got promoted in some way. And, you know, I'm glad Yugoslavia got this attention. I'm from there. But in all honesty, I must say that, you know, number of killings in Colombia far exceeds Yugoslavia, which never makes front page, not to mention other spots in the world. So public interest has been cultivated and actually generated by these stories rather than stories responding to something that already exists. Because public would not know about 2 weeks before Kosovo, they didn't know where it is on the map. All of a sudden, everybody knows it. Well, how come? Because it's all on front pages. I tell you, if China and Tibet and East Timor and Angola was on front pages all the time, we would then care very much about Angola but not care about Kosovo. That's the product of media manipulation, I think.
You know, Mike, on a program that we did with the former publisher of the Union, John Walker, and I can't remember who else was in on it. I think Baumgartner.
I think you might have been, and also perhaps the former station manager at KNCR. Yeah,
and also the former program director at KVMR.
Sure, there's a lot of that going around, isn't there?
I mentioned to me.
And Eric's soon to be the former broadcaster at KVMR.
Not the formers.
I had a graphic example of the media responding to public interest with the story of the Haitian, it was absolutely fourth or fifth page news, the fact that at that time, 300 to 400 people, Haitians, drowned in our continent, just, you know, maybe a couple hundred miles from continental United States, drowned when a ferry boat flipped over. This didn't even make most newspapers, and the ones that it did, it made the third or fourth page. And then on the front page at that particular time was quite an extensive story about some people who were lost in a dog sled race up in Alaska.
Right. Okay. I think there was two of them or something.
Yeah, there was two of them in there. So, yeah, you know, I believe that the newspaper representative that was here says, well, we do what sells newspapers. And he didn't consider that bias. You know, I'll let anybody form their opinion about what was really the most important story in that. So I would say this is true.
You are tuned to Community Support Radio.
I agree with you, Eric.
KVMR FM 89.5, 99.3, 103.7 on your radio dial and live around the entire planet on the internet at www.kvmr.org. My name is Mike Thornton. This is the New Storm News Service, co-hosted by Paul Emery. Eric Siljak is with us, and we're talking about media this evening in the first hour of the program. Eric, let's talk about Yugoslavia, and I guess the question that I would ask, I feel a little bit like John McLaughlin or something on the McLaughlin group, you know? Issue 3, Yugoslavia. Well, Eric, did the so-called alternative media sources do a good job with this?
Well, what you define by alternative media, I can tell you a few web pages that did good. Z Magazine did good. KPFA did good. So, the question becomes, you know, I was asked many times this thing about, like, are we supposed to do, is Global Kitchen being radical in a way that I present something that's on the other side of the extreme? So in other words, the general public, which gets information through Sacramento Bee or New York Times or San Francisco Chronicle, and they listen to Global Kitchen. So I give total extreme. So when they absorb all of those, then they can kind of find their own middle way. Or do I present my truth, whatever it is? And my question to that was, my answer to that was, and I'm going to repeat it tonight, if you keep hearing something that's very slanted in one way over and over, even if somebody comes with so-called objective middle way, it would seem to you slanted the other way around just because of prevalent perception. So all this alternative media that seems to us very radical and very challenging might not be so radical except in the general ocean of this mainstream media, which is very biased and very black and white anyway.
You bring up a couple of points, one of them that I really wanted to get to. But Paul, go ahead. What are your thoughts on whether or not so-called alternative media did a good job in covering the war, if we want to call it that, in Yugoslavia? Yeah,
I don't like the word alternative media to begin with.
Well, all right then.
Alternative to what? I would rather use the word independent media. Media sources that are independent of anything other than themselves. Okay. That's a really, really good question because, I feel that I was fairly well informed about what happened in Yugoslavia. I feel that I was informed well enough to where if I chose to take the time to pursue deeper information and deeper knowledge, I could do so, and there were various areas which I feel like I would have liked to have done that, but I didn't. Now, I don't watch television, okay? I do read newspapers. I look at the headlines of newspapers and, you know, read them just like everybody else does. I listen to KPFA a lot. I listen to KVMR on this issue a lot. I listen to you a lot on this program.
Well, we did a good one. Let me just say here, maybe it's not okay to praise ourselves, but
sure
KVMR, and I don't mean me just, but all of us, KVMR, really did very good job. Mike, you were inviting different guests doing interview. You, Paul, did a few very good ones. And so we really, when we say independent media, I think in that particular case of the last war or these 6 months in Yugoslavia, KVMR could be called truly independent. I think without any, you know, being falsely modest, we did a good job.
I think, you know, the whole concept of independent media is I think, really the key to start thinking that way. Because we see with something like KPFA, how independent are they?
Right.
They are dependent upon something. I feel like at KVMR, I'm really independent. I'm doing a show on Monday. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm going to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that, Mike, and you do that,
mm-hmm.
Eric. And the whole idea is with a media outlet, whether it's television or whether it's radio or whether it's the printed word, all you can do is present something that you hope stimulates people to where they will independently themselves look for more information. And that's really what our job is.
Let me tell you in part the two reasons why I wanted to bring up this topic, other than, of course, it was an important topic and needed to be discussed on a program like this. One is I felt that I was a person who was paying a tremendous amount of attention to what was going on, whether it was listening to your program, Eric, or something I was hearing out of Pacific or reading or whatever, and people I was talking to. I was, I think, almost dumbfounded when I heard Jeremy Scahill, as we were talking about earlier, reporting from Kosovo. And it was the first time that I had really heard of Arcan. And, you know, here was what appears to be, and they were talking about him as though, oh yeah, everybody knows Arkan, you know, that he's, you know, this really brutal death squad leader that works on behalf of Milosevic and all of that, and that he's been running amok and killing and murdering people since Bosnia, and that he's a really bad guy, an international criminal, and that allegedly Arkan and his Tigers, formerly the White Eagles, were a paramilitary group that were operating in Kosovo and allegedly murdering people. We never heard that. At least I never heard that being presented in the so-called alternative coverage, and I know you don't like that word, Paul, but I didn't hear that, and that troubled me because it made me wonder where I think so-called independent media was doing a good job covering and exposing some of NATO and the U.S.'s nefarious activities. I wondered how many stations such as ours and or others kind of went into this opposite sort of knee-jerk mode whereby whatever they were going to cover, we were going to cover the opposite. And somehow or another, people like Arkan and the paramilitaries that have been operating in that area of the world were really not addressed. And that troubled me because I don't know. I mean, see, this leads to the bigger question. Do we serve our communities best by presenting the opposite side of what corporate mainstream media is presenting, or do we serve our communities best by trying to present a more balanced approach? I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, Mike. I think the idea of alternative doesn't necessarily mean opposite.
Right, but it troubled me that we weren't hearing about Arkan, and that people knew who he was, and they knew that there were these paramilitary death squads. I mean, let's be honest, Hashimi Thaçi and the KLA are no better and probably worse. But we didn't hear about him on a lot of coverage, and when I first heard that, it really troubled me. I wanted to know why. And so far, I really haven't heard a really good answer to that.
Yeah, well, I think that that's what you said about this balanced approach or imbalanced. I think it all stems from our basic worldview. If my basic worldview is that I believe in basic human rights, that I don't subscribe to national divisions, if I believe that bad guys and good guys are not neatly divided across the ethnic lines, but you have bad guys on all sides and good guys and innocent people who suffer on all sides, well, this immediately places me in some alternative here, because most of the media, 19%, are subscribing to different worldview,
right,
where we need to have enemies, heroes, good guys, bad guys. So in that sense, presenting something that I would consider totally to be balanced, it's, from my point of view, balanced,
right,
but in contrast to mainstream media, could have been totally perceived as you know, imbalanced or one-sided. It depends on your worldview. Most of the mainstream media worldview is determined not based on human rights, and no matter how much President Clinton repeats that he is motivated by, you know, moral imperatives and anything, the bottom line are much more prosaic and much less poetic and romantic, and we know the bottom lines for mainstream media. And defense contractors, who are the same people, own all of that. So, in other words, this independent, what Paul was saying, I think I like that phrase, independent, because being independent means that I come here, and whoever is programming director doesn't come and tell me, look, you know, Arkan story doesn't go, or this go.
Right.
No, it's up to me, and you did bring that Arkan story, and I remember it was a very good one. So, you know, maybe that would be the answer, that you do follow your consciousness, and if it doesn't seem to be totally, you know, fitting into divisions, alternative or mainstream, so then we are not alternative nor mainstream. We are independent. Maybe we are opposing mainstream, and we can oppose alternative also. I mean, what is it,
right.
This is like Democrats and Republicans. You have to choose. I mean, I don't choose. I choose neither of those. Well, you know,
I hate that concept, alternative rock, too. Alternative,
right,
to what?
Alternative to some other rock,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, to something else. I mean, so what are we alternative to? I don't know.
You're tuned to Community Supported Radio, KVMR FM. Go ahead, Paul.
I think the whole idea of a media of a media service, a media opportunity, and that's what we have here. That's what KPFA is a media, is to try to do something stimulating to people so that they will pursue more information themselves as independent. You know, I don't want anybody to believe what I say.
Right.
Or you or
that's
anybody
right.
else.
Paul,
but to stimulate people so that they'll just glutton.
But what you said a minute ago, I'd like to just said once again. And you said a very good point. We kind of brushed it over, but really worth repeating. If we had access to these frequencies that are now kind of rarity and worth millions of bucks, if we had a chance, the three of us, operate our own little micro thing in Nevada City, whether it's called pirate or alternative, or I'm doesn't matter what's the label, but if power to the people, if people really have, like, if you had imprinted press, you can go and publish anything and sell it on the street. If you had the same freedom in this media land to start a radio station and to abandon it. So what? KPFA wouldn't be issue of millions of bucks. You go around the corner and start a new KPFA. Right.
That's what I was talking about earlier. If they could do that, then the power structure of KPFA would be relating to the volunteers that they have differently, but they know that they've got them because they haven't got any place to go.
Well, certainly that, I think, leads us to our next topic, and that, of course, is the topic of micro radio, so-called pirate radio.
The next topic was local news.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can we do that one first?
We can do that one first. And Paul's, that's why
you made the list.
I made the list. You're the co-host. You're driving the ship. Let's talk about local news programming.
Okay. You have on your list here, what should community radio be doing with this, and can it do a good job?
Okay.
And that was a very stimulating question to me. Community radio, in my opinion, should be doing a lot of this because this is our community is a unique community. It's unique to here, to being at this place and this planet. Sacramento is a unique community. Marysville, Yuba City are a unique community, et cetera, et cetera. Berkeley is a unique community. I find the greatest lack in media opportunities exists on local levels. And this is where some places there's nothing. There's nothing but a newspaper that is kind of more of a shopper than it is a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tremendous lack of opportunity for people to get to know each other in their own community. Now, yes, I think we should be doing lots of this. Can we do a good job? Yes, but we need a staff to do it.
Right.
I don't think that really being doing a thorough coverage or a reasonable coverage of a local news can be done with volunteers. I think it needs a, if it's too labor intensive. That's my opinion.
Well, and I think I agree with you. I was very, very gratified to listen to the news this evening and hear the story about the report coming out of the DA's office and that we were covering that. I think it's a tremendously important story.
You know, we do a really good job on some things, but we only have a certain amount of energy
and Paul, I can relate to that one very well because I mentioned, I don't know, Mike, do you remember, maybe yesterday I mentioned this thing on the radio or not, but this is a very good point. I was doing this last 6 months coverage pretty much single-handedly within KVMR, finding interviews, doing the coverage of the Kosovo thing. It turned out to be a full-time job. I could only do it so much. After a couple of months, I was burned out. I didn't have any support, you know, I was, you know, house sitting, didn't pay rent, I was financial. I mean, you cannot be full-time volunteer, do high quality job, and just, you know, kind of live on. So you have a point. If you want to do something high quality, if you want to put yourself really into preparation of that thing, you need some kind of support. That's the lesson I came with.
It's also true of any kind of serious attempt at investigative journalism. This is what's neglected in our media is because nobody is willing to pay the money that it takes to involve people to do this on a level that needs to be done.
Well, our sacred softball player showed up. How many home runs did you hit? Are you?
We won't talk about that.
Oh, okay, you're not ahead of Mark McGwire, is what I'm hearing you say.
He's not worried yet.
And now in sports, Chamberlain.
I've been listening to you guys as I've been driving here, and if you don't mind going back a step, and we can touch on the local news, it seems to me that with our resources, we're all volunteers, we've only got so much time, we get no pay for it. What we're really doing is we're culling other news sources more than anything else. And the problem in this country is very deep because the media has been bought and paid for. It's sold. One of the most frightening things I heard was just talking with Eric last night. Eric is leaving. He's got this incredible collection of alternative magazines. He offered to give them to the library. The library refused to take them. That's a form of censorship in itself.
Right.
If you go to the library, you're not going to find some of the publications that are really busting the government. You're not going to find Z Magazine, Media Bypass, IF Magazine, the investigative reporters that God knows how they're making it, but they are reporting. You're not going to find wherever Gary Webb is being published.
Right.
So it seems to me that one of our functions is to educate the people into the alternative news sources, because they're not going to get it from the mainstream, and we have to wean them from expecting that they're going to get any form of news. I'm very disturbed by our own radio station, because our morning news is now, we have 5 minutes of the BBC, which is a joke to me, and then we get into local news, which is well done, but we've given up on examining the news. I think that's what our function should be. I think that's what we're good at, is examining the news and pointing other people in the direction of, hey, take a look here, listen to this, listen to that, and for God's sakes, avoid the mainstream.
One of the things that I'm going to need to do is try and move this along, because we're going to be going to our next segment. But I'm really glad you came in, John, because I remember when Eric was talking about it, that last night, and I heard that when he tried to give this stuff to the library so people could come and see it.
No, we only want Time Magazine, right, and Newsweek. We want the government point of view.
And People Magazine,
yep,
or whatever.
We want schlock.
Yeah, and that's a very scary
but
thought.
But there's a – on the other hand, let me play a devil's advocate role here. Do we have to rely on a government facility to do this? Would you chip in $20 a month to rent a space to create a library?
I would.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we're seeing we don't need to be dependent on the government.
I think if the government is using our money, I think we should insist that we get a say in how it's used.
Right. I have to agree with Chamba on that. I mean, I think it's all well and good to say, well, you can set up something else. But the fact of the matter is that that's our library.
Yeah.
It's as much our library as it is their library. And quote, unquote, who are they to say that they're going to decide what material's in it?
Exactly.
Well, you have a much more a broad concept of the good, of what you perceive as the goodness of government.
I don't.
Well, you saying that they should do this, that's not the purpose of government.
No, we should demand that they do that.
The purpose of government is to support the ruling class, and that's what they do.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it. I don't depend on a government.
Okay, but we don't
like
have
this.
To agree with that purpose. That's certainly what they see as their purpose. But we
that's
can
the
fight.
Reality.
We
that's
can,
the reality.
Well, we can fight them tooth and nail on it.
Gentlemen, let me get Eric in here, because we're going to have to wrap this up. I'm going to have to ask you a quick question about microwave radio, and then we're going to have to do a quick sum up. Eric, go ahead.
I'm all for the power to the people. They say this First Amendment is outdated. It doesn't. No, I believe this is what America is about. Not growth, not economics, not Wall Street. This is this freedom of speech. Yes, I would open the frequencies. What does it mean, pirate? What does it mean, illegal radio station? How can it be illegal? Who made, who chipped airwaves and decided them to these licenses which are now worth $100 million if you apply it 50 years ago? And KVMR will be in 20 years also $100 million, because Nevada City is going to be overpopulated and somebody's going to come and buy us. I mean, that's ridiculous. I believe in pirate radio station. I believe in samizdats, what we call back home, which is you print your own material, whether it's legal or illegal. You distribute it to your friends. You take charge of your freedom is your cause. If you don't use it, you lose it. You cannot demand that somebody provide you that. That's your. Nobody can breathe for you. Nobody can be free for you. Nobody can do any of this for you. So I say, let's go. Let's do microwave. Mike, let's start a pirate radio station here.
The FCC, of course, is reviewing its rules around low-power FM, and there is a battle that is going on as we speak.
A very important battle.
A very important battle, I might add, and unfortunately probably one that we're not going to have justice to do with this evening, but the National Association of Broadcasters, of course, is fighting this tooth and nail.
As is one of our organizations that we're a part of.
I think you're going to say the NFCB, but I was told that's not true. I was told that actually they're in support of micro radio.
Okay.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
I would like to second what Chamba said a minute ago, because this is really relevant to KVMR. Instead of this concept of reading and rereading Sacramento Bee and different other papers and getting faxes and repeating news generating elsewhere, I'm a strong supporter of what he said. We should be commentating. We should be having our original, very personalized view of points. So repeating world news in any form, it's out of, you know, we should be doing commentary, original stuff.
Hey, there's a, when I was news director, we created opportunities on the news program for people to do commentary, and very few people did. And
that's
Chamba,
true.
You're one of them that did. And Eric, I believe that you did once in a while. But that's not, that's a different matter. Everybody can, anybody can do a commentary, and what, why should your commentary or my commentary be interesting enough? It's a certain skill to be able to do that. I think there's more to it than that. But.
Well, I think certainly to do it well is one thing. To do it, of course, is something else. My name is Mike Thornton. This is the New Storm News Service, co-hosted by Paul Emery, joined this evening by Eric Siljak and Chamba Lane, super baseball player of Nevada County. Gentlemen, we only have a minute left, and Chamba, I'd like to let you get the last word in about your thoughts about media.
It's up to the people to pay attention and to select what they need. The mainstream media is bought and paid for. You're not going to get it from mainstream media. And what we can do is we can educate our children, educate our populace, and demand that more be provided. In the schools, I think we should work in the high schools and demand that some of these alternate publications be available, demand of the libraries. And that comes from demanding of your representatives. You have to be proactive.
Paul, do you want to say something?
Well, you know, I'll have to go back to Noam Chomsky, who was asked the question of basically the same question, is what opportunities do we have in this country for freedom of speech? And he says, we have all the opportunities in the world of freedom of speech, is that most people just don't care. He says, there's tons of books all over the place to read. If somebody really wants, if they really want to find out something, they will do it. And so I think the problem is the media feeds what people eat. As long as they eat it, they're going to feed it. They're going to feed it to them. And of course, now they have the ability to create people's tastes. So it's an endless cycle.
Eric?
And I would say, really, that it's very important to realize what media is and what it isn't. Because back in the Eastern Europe, I was saying all over these 4 years in Global Kitchen, people were fed, spoon-fed, very direct government propaganda, but many people, if not majority, knew what it was about. I have a feeling that many people here do not realize what mainstream media is about, what TV is about, and they would get into heated arguments about, we have the freest media in the world, and how can you say such a thing? So I think it's very important to realize what media really is, and it takes some studying, some legwork. It won't come on front page of any magazine. It's something we all need to do if we want to be informed citizens and if we want this democracy to work. So I invite all of us to do our work.
And as a host of the program and the person with the buttons in his hand, I just want to say that I think every school in America should have a course in media analysis,
hear.
And media criticism, beginning at very, very early age, so people can be taught how to swim in the sea of information that very often they're being drowned in. You're tuned to community-supported radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento, 89.5, 99.3, 103.7 on your FM radio dial and worldwide on the Internet at www.kvmr.org. That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530-265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.